Welcome back, boys and girls. Today we're going to talk about Donald Trump. And in doing so, we're going to cover three subjects: capitalism, socialism, and communism. I put up a post and you guys all agreed, well, not all of you, but most of you agreed this was something you were interested in. Even if you said we should go after bankers, I think this is where we're going. I have made two episodes about Donald Trump. First one was just too scatterbrained. Second one, I think, was actually pretty good. But I wanted to throw another one in there that was a little lighter. And I've created one on racism. I didn't like it. It's probably fine. You guys will probably like it, but I just didn't think I covered all the bases. I've done two Flat Earths, part two. Don't like the way they came out. So I've been working my ass off in the midst of this cold. I don't have really a cold, but I got this little powdery thing in my chest. Makes it a pain in the ass to edit these videos every time I cough. Now it's getting down to a tolerable level. As long as I keep some moisture on it, I'm fine. This is what I used to get back in the major chemtrail days. Today, the sky is utterly and completely packed with chemtrails. And what's really sad about it is that the Weather Channel, the weather apps, all say it's a partly cloudy day. So yeah, stop spraying the fucking thing and it won't be cloudy. But that's not what today's subject's about. I always like to throw that in there. Because if you have the courage to go after this much truth, then why not spread the rest of it, right? Because it's real important. Donald Trump and all three of those other subjects, the ways to run a government. So what I've experienced in the real world is the following. Probably 80% of the people I know are completely and utterly for Donald Trump. And I would say out of those 80%, 80% are migrants into America. Chinese, Japanese, Arab, Mexican, and black. At a minimum. I don't think I have an Indian friend in my circle right this exact moment. But everyone seems to be pretty well on the same page. But I will say that the one common denominator of all the people that I know that support Trump and all the people that don't support Trump and therefore support Bernie and only Bernie is that everybody I know who supports Trump is an entrepreneur, business owner, and employer. Or sole proprietor. And what I think is interesting about that is that that's the way America used to be no more than four decades ago. My little tiny hometown, which I always mention in the show, Chanute, Kansas, in the mid-70s, which I was alive and conscious for by at least 74 and up, it ran off tons and tons of mom-and-pop shops. I was recording the second version of the show, and I started saying, oh, well, I know there's a few stores downtown that run by families. By the time I recalled it to you guys, it was like every single store. Before Walmart moved in 1975, we had mom-and-pop shops running, you know, convenience stores, feed shops, boots and jeans, shoes, every grocery store in town, every auto repair shop, body shop, gas station. Yes, they bought franchises for major vendors for the gas. And I'm trying to think. Both convenience stores were Quick Trips. The founder just passed away, like 96 years old. But we ran off of our own ingenuity. And Walmart came in and fucked everything up. And I worked for that place in the mid-80s. When Sam Walton ran the place and bought only American products. Not that that was good, because I mean, it was good, but I think he was still going to wipe out downtown. So now downtown struggles. Now just think about it. My little town was founded in the 1850s off of the Santa Fe Railroad. And then the Santa Fe Railroad ceased to become the major method to transport goods. I mean, at least it didn't bring my town any passengers, didn't bring my town any freight drops, which is sort of ridiculous. But the town was bustling. In the mid-70s, my town was probably at 12,500. All right, I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm going to have to suck on some sort of cough drop here. These are designed to numb my throat, so it should help. I hate hearing the inside of someone else's mouth. I don't have that word phobia, but it's just disgusting. I'll try to keep it to a minimum. Well, let me take you through a tour of my little town here so you can understand where Donald Trump's coming from. And if you grew up in a big city and you never experienced a tiny little town, we want tiny little towns to exist. My town was surveyed by a gentleman who mentored the Wright brothers. His name was Octave Chanute. My little town was three towns coming into a township, which is a 6-mile by 6-mile square, something that the Metz and Bounds people use as a measuring tool to survey land. Octave would fly in a plane. He made a business of flying around and drawing, I guess, or maybe memorizing or something, the land. It was New Chicago, Tioga, and Chanute. And eventually the township had to come together and vote on a name, and they named it after the guy that flew around. His name's Chanute, with a C-H like champagne. Now, what I don't understand is that he flew around somehow, but he did not have a plane like the Wright brothers, so I don't understand how that works. But if you go to my little hometown, they have a tiny museum dedicated to him. Our town is famous for Octave Chanute. It's famous for the Osa Martin Johnson African Explorers. That's OSA Martin. Two of the first, I guess you could say, Anglo-Saxon people that went to Africa and filmed things. The very first footage you've ever seen of Africa was filmed by them. It was a husband-wife team. I think Osa was like 16 years old when she married Martin. He died in a plane crash. She lived for a very long time. They used to paint their planes to look like the indigenous animals of Africa, so it wouldn't scare the local tribes. They would film one tribe and then go to another area and develop the film, or go off and develop the film and bring it back and show people, and then film them watching the film. This is like in the turn of the century, from the 19th century to the 20th century. There's a crazy safari museum at the old train station you can go see. Highly recommend it. It's a quick visit, but it's very cool. Take the tour. Right across the street, literally right across the street's the brand new Octave Chanute Museum, which you have to catch it while it's open. But back in the 1970s, we had the Tioga Hotel, which I believe is a 9-story building. It's the tallest building in the entire town. At the bottom was a little novelty shop this old man used to run. He lived off a novelty shop in the corner of the Tioga Hotel on the base floor. He sold all the Spencer's Gifts kind of stuff, you know, all the rubber shit, exploding cigarettes, everything in the back of a comic book he had there. Plus, he had some dirty greeting cards in the back, which were really funny. It's 1970s dirty, not 2016 dirty. We had a Cardinal Drug on the corner where you would go in and they'd make you a shake or a float while you did all your drugstore purchasing. We had Ward's Bootery, which I think just closed, but they managed to make it to the very end of their run. They had run it for like 35 years, 40 years. It's where you bought shoes. We had a New York family that came in and opened up a garment store, the Barr family. They opened up a garment store, and then across the street they sold all the accessories and makeup, all imported from New York City. Like the latest fashions. Really cool. I forgot what the jeans in the cowboy place, boots place was like, but that was across the street from the shoe place. Lots of places, you know. We had three major grocery stores, all booming, all personally owned. And if I went back to my hometown, a billionaire, and held a meeting, and I said, hey guys, we want to bring this back. You need to get rid of Walmart first. Just help me campaign against people buying anything from there. We're going to pull all their employees out. We're going to make sure that they don't make any more money. My town would fight me. They would fight to keep the virus that has destroyed their town. It's nuts, man. People getting paid shitty wages, not getting to control their destinies because they work for corporations. I remember this place called Lopman Electronics, where my my good friend, his father owned the place. I guess I got to be careful saying names. I don't think anybody cares, but just in case. Right across from the Sonic. My dad used to go there and buy all kinds of wild stuff. But he'd definitely go to Wichita to get his Macintosh stereos. That was replaced by the music shop. Music shop still exists. So it's in a little tiny house now. Used to be downtown. Used to be in a storefront. He started out in a little tiny storefront below a big brownstone. Because all he could afford was the basement floor, which actually was, I think, pretty damn cool. Then he moved up and out and across the street. So he had this big, giant haunted house where he invited all of us kids to make rooms. And they would charge money for it. It's really cool. But all that's gone. Most of those buildings are dormant now. Whatever's down there is a staple or a novelty, you know. The poor people that own those buildings are just leasing them for nothing. Last time I was there, there was a married couple in their early 20s running a military, you know, one of those consignment stores or one of those military, what the hell you call them. You know, we sell a bunch of military shit. Really cool. We spent a ton of money on the downtown. It looks amazing right now. And Google built a big planet Earth in the middle of the street because when you launch the Macintosh version of Google Earth, it centers on Chanute. I guess that's what it does. A kid went to my high school did that because he works for Google. Now, I've told you 100 times that I was a pretty intense entrepreneur when I was a kid. So my entire life has been offering a product or a service, but obviously I put my blood, sweat, and tears in, and I sell it for some money, and I get some money back, and that's how I pay my bills. I've never been in manufacturing, but I've been around it. My little hometown has an industrial park outside the town. We used to make oil wells. Used to make garments. One of our founders invented the very first home satellite dishes called Birdview. I mean, we made millions of these things. They're everywhere. When the dishes used to be massive, right? Birdview had a patent. We also have Custom Electronics with the K. They invent most of the radar guns that you get pulled over by. The other one called MPH was also invented in my hometown. So every single radar gun in the world has been invented in my tiny little town and moved. MPH moved to Tennessee so they could fuck all the employees and get $2.25 wages. Yep. Because working in a little tiny town was too costly. Give me a break. Custom stuck with it, and they stayed there. A lot of major inventions came out of my hometown. Any of you have seen Peter Frampton or Zap Roger? They put that tube in their mouth when they use a keyboard or they play their guitar. That little tube was invented by a guy named Bud Ross in my hometown. It's crazy. But that doesn't happen anymore at all because America has been gutted. America has been gutted financially to the 16th Amendment. It's been gutted educationally speaking through this Prussian education system that Charlotte Iserby keeps talking about that infiltrated in the early 70s. Kids aren't taught how the world works. Kids have so much homework they don't get to engage their families anymore. Homework is a spiteful mechanism to separate the child from their parent and from their family. If you got a kid in school and your school believes in lots of homework, change schools or homeschool your kid. Because if your kid comes home all stressed to fucking beat the band, no wonder your 16-year-old daughter has ovarian cancer while your son is all hyper and weird. Because everything's you're just on the precipice of failure constantly, right? Our educational system is totaled. And this is where we get to Donald Trump. There are two things that ruin the world, especially for Americans: economics and education. Virtually everything else that you hate about the world is stuck in the symptom to that cause, those two causes. Donald Trump has probably the most three-dimensional education of any potential candidate we've had for president in the history of our country since the forefathers. You know, there's a couple exceptions, right? So you have Abraham Lincoln, we think, was one of those guys. Pretty sure JFK was one of those guys. If RFK had ever done a run for presidency, he would have been one of those guys. I'm sure there's some exceptions along the way, but I don't know all the presidents that well. But there's, let's look at Donald Trump's education. He goes to one of the best economic schools in the world. He not only does that, but he takes that knowledge and turns it into wisdom, which is really where the tire meets the pavement and where you find out whether or not your professor knew what they were talking about or didn't know what they're talking about. Everybody wants to give Donald Trump shit because he started with money. What, are you jealous? You have to be an asshole to a guy who actually started out with a little bit of money? Because I guarantee you, if you're not worth $10 billion, you have no fucking idea what it took to make $10 billion. And hitting on a guy means that you're one of the assholes in the world. And you need to stop being that asshole. Donald Trump was given $40 million, as I understand it, somewhere in that round range. Hell, you can even say 50 if you want. By his father in the 70s, after college. He took that and made it $10 billion. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know probably half a dozen people with that kind of money. And they will never in their life approach $1 billion. Hell, I got an uncle worth $500 million. I don't think he'll ever be worth $1 billion. Because it's hard as hell to turn it into an empire that's worth $10 billion. So Donald Trump's education, formerly out of college, and his experience since, and his mentorship from his father, because he didn't have too much goddamn homework, right? He lived in the best part of America, best part of American history. He's one of the baby boomers that baby boomers should be proud of. Instead, a bunch of baby boomers are hating on him. Not too many, but some. It's unbelievable. Some of my friends that support Bernie over Trump. But what we have, this is one thing that I ran into when I recorded the episode. Rubio fell out of the race, and I was talking the whole time about the four other candidates. You know, when you see this, there's going to be less candidates and less candidates. So at this point in time of this recording, there are three other candidates. And let's be clear. All of your voting on Super Tuesday doesn't mean anything other than incubating up the consciousness of man to understand that we have an opinion that Donald Trump is a real candidate. The RNC and the DNC, which is the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, both shill organizations that work together, they will simply choose who they want to be their candidate. They do not give a shit about your Super Tuesday votes. They're not counted, just so you know. They're not counted. But they will decide whether or not we have a revolution. Because I'm going to warn the RNC right now, if they block Donald Trump, the revolution in America kicks off immediately. And it will change. And all these blowhard, pasty white scumbags who run the world, who sell us out to European banking cartels, they're gone. Your super PAC will leave in cuffs. Because America will have its vote heard. We will vote. This won't be some draconian bullshit dictatorship thing. We will vote. And I really would estimate that this race is between Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump over Ted Cruz. I don't know a single person who said anything positive about Hillary. Nothing. I got 500 friends on Facebook. It's about, I'd say, 30% Bernie Sanders, and the rest all Donald Trump. But what's interesting is some of my most intellectual and enlightened friends have bought hook, line, and sinker all the bullshit about the protesters, about Donald Trump being a racist. You have to be a real asshole, a real dumb shit, to repeat that Donald Trump is a racist. You have to have absolutely no clarity whatsoever on reality. You have to have no knowledge of his business empire and what keeps it going to accuse Donald Trump of being a racist. You have to have no knowledge of the massive, massive wall on the south side of Mexico because they don't allow anyone to come into their country. Even the people that look exactly like them with the exact same history as them. They will shoot and kill your ass on the border of the southern border of Mexico. The only time that there's been any exception in the last 5 years of that border was in when Obama trying to harvest a bunch of minority voters, illegal minority voters. This fucker tried to break the law. They sent a bunch of flyers down to South America and said, hey, if you just hop on this train that's coming through, we're going to bring you to the Texas border. We're going to bring you deep inside of America. We're giving you credit cards, fake passports, fake everything. We are the president and the administration known as Barack Obama, and we are going to launder you into the United States of America illegally. That's what this guy did. It's all above ground. And only when that happened did, Vicente Fox open up his border, and then they put the army up and down that railroad track in case anybody tried to jump off into Mexico. They'd be shot dead. And all these trains dump into America with all this tuberculosis. They're not for you, all right? They're not even for those folks down south. They want to extort votes out of those systems. You know, your right wants to use them for labor and your left wants to use them for votes. But now the vote thing isn't working because when they finally get here and finally set up, even an illegal immigrant can see how fucked up it is. And they want to vote for a wall. They want to vote to protect what they've been able to find and incubate up. And they're realizing that coming to America doesn't mean you get a job because all the jobs are being exported back down to Mexico. What if you're from El Salvador or Ecuador or Brazil or wherever, Argentina, and you busted your ass to get to America and you realize all the jobs are in Mexico? But Mexico will kill you if you come across the border. Of course they're voting for Trump. They don't want the jobs to go to India. They don't want the jobs to go to China or Mexico. They want the jobs to stay in America. They're going to get on a factory line and they're going to be productive. They're going to pay taxes and they're going to learn English. And we're going to combine our cultures like we always do. And we're going to have a good time. But Bernie Sanders is going to screw that up. Hillary Clinton, my God, who knows what the fuck she's running for? She's running for pure ego. Hillary Clinton has no agenda whatsoever. Hillary Clinton is going to make phone calls to the Bilderbergs every day. What should I do, ma'am, sir? What should I do? And she'll just do it. That's why she isn't saying anything. Ted Cruz, whatever. Ted Cruz stutters through all of his interviews because he's full of shit. He doesn't stutter because he stutters. He stutters because he's lying constantly, defending lies constantly. Education and economy. People don't like the wars over in the Middle East. Well, that's due to our economy because we have a fiat currency that runs off of oil. We feel like we need to control the flow of oil because they've taken oil and OPEC off the dollar standard. So our troops go over there and they sit on top of oil wells and they say, we're going to control this oil and you're going to buy it with dollars. You can immediately buy it with euros, but you're going to give us dollars, which means you got to buy dollars from somewhere. That's why we're there. But I think there's a hidden war going on. There's a cold war going on in the market of oil. You got your Saudis, and you're overproducing the living shit out of oil, which I think is awesome, quite frankly. The rumor is that they're trying to offset Iran's ability to make money since the sanctions have come off. I think that's complete horseshit, because how long can you do it? You have to do it for the entire history of Iran's non-sanctioned status. Well, so they overproduce for a year. You hurt Iran for 1 year. Big deal. As soon as the sanctions are off, well, there goes the oil. It goes back up to $150 a barrel, and Iran's rolling in it. But I know what you guys are thinking. I'm just going to make this a long episode. This will be the cranky episode. It's hard not to get emotional, right? I just think that Trump is all about talking like we talk, and I'm about that same thing, so if you're hearing deep thoughts, you're about listening to someone talk to you like a normal human being, even though he swears. But let's get at the jugular, right? Bernie Sanders is the what we call the general of the free shit army. His entire appeal is based on one thing: the Robin Hood formula. What is the Robin Hood formula? Let's all say it together. Ready? Steal from the rich and give to the poor. Let's say that again slowly. Steal from the rich, give to the poor. It's It's unbelievable that anyone can utter those words and not see what's going on here. The idea is that there's some aristocracy of people in the world who are assholes, and they deserve to have their money stolen because it's all ill-gotten gains. And I wouldn't disagree with you, but do you know what the percentage of people you're talking about? The whole 1% movement is a bunch of bullshit. I think there's more CO2 in the greenhouse gas layer, which is 0.054% of a single percent, than there are bankers that you're talking about that deserve to have their money actually stolen from them because they stole it from us. What Bernie Sanders is talking about is stealing it from someone like Donald Trump, who worked his ass off to build an empire. Sure, there's a bunch of assholes at the top who probably killed and stole things to get what they have, right? But Bernie's little tax bracket makes you feel like the middle class is going to get a break. Yeah, it's never happened in the history of your fucking life, but it's going to happen with this guy. Sure. Because Bernie just walks in and says, hey, this is what the tax brackets are now, IRS. I'm Bernie Sanders, and I get to determine how much money you collect every year. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. You geniuses. His other proposal is that if you make over $2 million a year, you're at a 52% tax bracket. I had a buddy of mine who's a comedian. Great guy. Smart guy. Funny guy. He's a big Bernie supporter, and he posts that Bernie tax bracket bullshit as a big hoorah-rah, right? I said, dude, you've been working for 25 years to be a successful comedian. You live paycheck to paycheck walking on stage, and now can you imagine that if Paramount Pictures had a movie where you went from zero to hero, right? You went from on stage to frontline Dane Cook, you know, lead cast role guy. And you made a cool $2 to $4 million or more, which wouldn't happen because those, you know, Adam Sandler's movies entire budget is $2.5 million. But I said, what if you lucked out and you made $2 million? And if you were under the current administration or Donald Trump, you get to keep, you know, what, over 65% of that money, at least from your federal taxes. If you built a corporation properly, you could probably keep that much easily. Little LLC to protect yourself. But now you vote this old fucking Scrooge asshole, Bernie Sanders, in, who didn't have a job till he was 40, who's been living off the dole his whole goddamn life. These are the kind of guys you meet and you just think, what an asshole. You know? Unless he literally saves babies for a living out of burning buildings. A guy like Bernie Sanders is just the creepy fucker that you think, God, what an asshole. He just bleeds the system dry. You know, every time you pay your taxes, you're paying for his lifestyle. Right? I said, dude, your family could be set for life if you could keep 65% of whatever, $2 million. And now Bernie comes up and says, I get over $1.2 million federal taxes. Then the state's going to come to take, what, 300? Now you only made $500,000 from a $2 million deal. You worked your whole life to get that opportunity. You worked your ass off. You wrote new material constantly for 25 years. And this guy comes along and takes two-thirds of it. When you count in the you know, the normal state taxes in California, which is the highest freaking tax bracket in this whole country, he doesn't see it. They don't put two and two together. I mean, I've said it a couple times on the show, but the Constitution of the United States, I'm really sorry, IRS, it says that your wages are your property. It's yours. And the only tax that can ever be given to an American is a apportion tax, which means a flat tax. We're all the same bracket. That's the only tax that's legal in the Constitution. And why is that? Because the forefathers had an apportioned tax in Europe when they wrote the Constitution, which means everybody was at a different tax bracket, which means the rich didn't pay as much as the bottom. And sometimes that makes sense. You know? Let's take tax brackets for just 1 second, because I've never really covered it the way I just came to my mind. You know, I'll give you an analogy. People go hunting, and people go fishing. And they pay a price to get on the acreage, to do hunting during the day with rifles, or they pay for a privilege to go out on a boat into a lake that's populated with fish. And they all pay the same amount of money. Let's say everyone pays $20 to get the opportunity to go out and see what they can catch. One guy's brand new like me. I go out there, man, I haven't fished in years. I love it. I catch like 2 fish. My buddy who invited me, he knows how to do it, baby. He knows how to lure those little bastards onto the hook, and this dude catches 20 fish. So this is where Bernie Sanders' psyche comes into effect. Bernie's sitting on the boat, and he's totally jealous, or he's lazy. He's probably terrified of trying to fish and failing. So his solution to the problem is to simply stand up and start yelling at everybody on the boat that we have too much, and that it all should be distributed. Right? There's an interesting fishing story that I want to throw at you guys. It has to do with the guy named Jesus. Yeah. To disclose, I don't believe the man ever existed, but I will say that the story that's in the Bible regarding fishing absolutely positively contradicts the Bernie Sanders. So if you're a Christian, you have to reject Bernie Sanders completely. Because what did Jesus say? Teach a man how to fish. Then I worry not where he gets his next meal, right? Bernie says someone else should fish and he should get it. There should be some fishing people and you should just fish and bring it all in and hand it all out. So that everyone knowing how to do what they need to do for their life. Getting a decent education, being able to get a decent job, having jobs available in the country because they're not all exported through NAFTA and the TPP. Remember, the Trans-Pacific Partnership's coming. If you don't know anything about that, it's a gigantic global cabal against every first world country, with America taking the brute force impact of the blow. Take all the first world countries and divide it into 50, divide this TPP into two sections, right? Two 50% slices. All of Europe is in one 50% impact through the EU, and America is in the other 50%. Now imagine someone's going to go around punching people in the face. We're like, you get 1/20th of the face punch, but you get half. That's what's going to happen. The TPP was actually hidden from Congress. No one was allowed to read it, but they were all told to vote for it. That's a total felony, criminal action. We need to take the military-industrial complex and recharter them to go after anyone who brought in the TPP, because they are traitors and treasonous people. And anyone who voted for it, which is damn near everyone on the Hill, boom, you're out. You can't vote yes on something you've never read. Since it was ratified and approved, right? Just like the 16th Amendment, we've been now allowed to read a few hundred pages of the thing. They still don't want anyone to read it because it's going to destroy America. It's going to destroy everything first world under this communist socialist platform that the bankers of the world don't like the fact that we have control. They don't like the fact that billionaires are made. They hate it. Mark Rubens, they hate him. There's a movie called Loose Change, which really shook my brain apart. Finally brought all my pieces together and woke me up. It's about 9/11. 2 college kids made it with this little straggler guy on the side who helped make it popular. They kept editing different versions of it. And Mark Rubin, a recent billionaire from the internet.com industry, said, "I'll fund its remake, and I get my buddy Charlie Sheen to narrate it. It'll be awesome." Well, immediately there was an insider trading thing on Mark Rubin, which was all bullshit, but it was a slap down to say, "You don't help, get rid of us." And of course he capitulated, never ever said anything about it. They must have threatened him really well. Charlie Sheen, well, he had the marital problems, he had the 7-ounce rock problem, and now he's got AIDS. I think AIDS he probably acquired himself, if he truly has it, of course. But he had all these issues. They found out how to sucker punch that guy. Both of them are out. Loose Change was never remade to any degree. The director's cut's probably the crappiest version, in my opinion. The original was rock solid. But that's part of the substructure of why they want to make sure America doesn't have the financial capability of creating resistance. Because, baby, we are resistance right now. There's over 1 billion guns in households and businesses across this country. It's only 350 million people, and there's only, probably maybe half of that that's even qualified to have a gun because they have to be over 18. So we're ready to defend the situation. And now Donald Trump comes out of nowhere as this unifying force of people who are tired of the bullshit, tired of being lied to, tired of being talked to in broadcast speak or politician speak. The amount of times I've seen videos of people who went and listened to Donald Trump speak, and they said, he talks to me in a voice I can understand. It's unanimous almost. It's beautiful. Black, white, anything. Mexican, Chinese, Japanese. All my friends, they say the same thing. I talked to a friend of mine who was, I believe he's an Arab-Mexican mix. And he was against Donald Trump a little bit. He hadn't really thought it through. He wasn't really like put his foot down. And we're smoking cigars together. I looked across at him. I said, well, tell me what your thing is. And within 30 minutes, I got him to understand that by his own opinion, he loves Trump. He's totally switched. He's like, you know, you're right. I can't even believe that I thought I was against him. This guy worked INS. He worked deep in the government in a lot of different places, but one of the things he had to do in his lifetime was work the immigration border patrol, watching soldiers, the border patrol people, the rangers, have to shoot people across the border in the United States of America. I wasn't aware this was going on, but I guess it happens. He told a really interesting anecdote. He said when on his first run, I believe he refused to shoot anybody in his entire career. So, but he said he worked. He was assigned with the guy that had a long history of shooting people. You know, it's lawful. You're not supposed to be crossing over. And his buddy, they're using binoculars, and this what looks like a family is crossing the border. No children, just a husband, wife, a couple people that match that description, a couple pairs going across. And the guy says, okay, this one's yours. I got the last one. And he's looking through the binoculars, and he sees this woman carrying this, what looks like a baby in a bundle. He's like, I can't shoot her. She's carrying a baby. And this guy says, it's not a baby. It's not a baby. Don't be an idiot. He's like, I don't know, man. I can't do it. But this guy that had been shooting for years, I guess, full-time INS worker, pulls out his gun and wastes them all. And I don't say that lightly. It's a shame that this has to happen. They hop in the Jeep. They go down to the dead bodies. My buddy is ready to puke, right? They go to the baby bundle. It's several kilos of heroin wrapped in a bundle. Size of a baby. Even bigger. And he looks at his friend and was like, God damn it. Sorry for doubting you, man. I still don't want to do this, but you're right. Drugs. So that's why he said, when we're talking about the border with him, he's visibly Mexican. He said, yeah, you know, the wall needs to go up because this killing needs to stop. This drug trafficking needs to stop. If you care about America, the drugs need to stop. Now, we all know we think that there's other methods that the drugs come in, but what if we did have the borders completely sealed and the drugs keep coming in? It could be a lot easier to find where the drugs come from. You know, it ain't all out of duffel bags and balloons up people's butts and boats coming over to southern Florida, which I guess southern Florida is still wide open. There's no border patrol in southern Florida. They just show up in boats just like they used to back in the 80s and 70s. But he did talk about something very interesting, and he said the initial plans for the border, the $10 billion wall, is to excavate as they build this wall. It's going to be two walls separated by some space, but underneath the wall is a prison. And the prison's going to go the whole length of the wall, separated by two walls. And they said this is going to be the detention center, where an individual who attempts to cross will be placed in that prison, with a method of becoming a citizen. They're going to have to come up with some sort of like $10,000 fine, but they're also going to get contracts from American corporations that sponsor them for a 5-year program to get into the United States of America. I thought that was interesting. It still is a huge tax dollar suck because anyone who's in prison has to be paid for. But again, if we're going to save $50 billion a year off illegal immigration, And then we're monetizing those people that want to come over because they would know the deal. They would absolutely know the deal. There wouldn't be any surprise you're in jail. Everyone would know. Yeah, well, you know, you go down there, you go to this detention center. It's pretty cool. We all get along great, and the turf wars are all settled, and we get you get food and board, and you go out and, you know, you earn your way in. That's better than the southern border of Mexico. You just get shot and killed. Remember, Mexico still has federales. Federales are their police force that will simply pull you over, steal your shit, put you in jail if you have too much, randomly come up with some drummed up charge, randomly come up with some drummed up amount of money, and you have to pay it to leave. It's great down there. But I promise this will be about capitalism, socialism, and communism, but I'm just... This is why my other shows didn't make it, I think, because there's so much to talk about. We just got to cover a bunch of bases here. There's no jobs in America, people. And that's where you get the sucking sound to the concept of socialism. Socialism is a parachute to a shitty education system and a shitty run country with no jobs. Socialism is the concept of something for nothing. The reason why Bernie Sanders has an appeal right now is because he knows that there's no jobs in America and that the colleges are cranking out 2/3 of the degrees for absolute shit. Nobody can get employed with 2/3 of the degrees coming out of every non-majored university. Stanford does better. You know, MIT, Caltech, Berkeley, Yale, Cornell, believe me, you'll get a job. But if you're not part of those dozen colleges across America, then you're screwed. If you're not in one of the basic food groups of education, you know. And even then, it's tough. So Bernie swoops in and says, oh, here's what Bernie doesn't say. Oh, your parents were too broke to pay for your college, so you had to take a bunch of loans. So now you're graduating with over $100,000 in student loans that your government incubated up so that the banks make a ton of money off the loan process. I'm really sorry about that. So your parents didn't have enough money to pay for your college. Oh, and now you went off and picked because you had a really iPhone-infested childhood. You picked a shitty degree. And your degree was, you know, you picked that degree you thought you could get done really fast, huh? And you realize that that's only good for pouring coffee and serving McDonald's hamburgers, right? Sorry. Sorry you picked the wrong degree. Sorry your folks couldn't pay for it. Sorry you couldn't degree. And sorry you can't get a job that pays for even a room to rent at somebody's house. Sorry we have screwed up the entire system. Sorry we have exported all the jobs that you could take. Maybe if you came out of college with a bad degree, at least you could stand on a Ford assembly line and put a fender on a vehicle. We used to have an IROC factory in Van Nuys, California. It's gone. Right? They went to Mexico, and then they canceled the car. You could probably assemble an iPhone. Can't do that. It's done in China. Foxconn. So how about this? This is what he does say, right? So after all that, which he doesn't acknowledge, the very foundation of this country being screwed, parents don't have jobs. The kids have crappy education. There's no jobs when those kids get out of college, even if they have good educations. He says, well, what if I sold you an idea that you could get all the stuff you wanted for free? What if I could do that for you? Would you vote for me if I could do that for you? And all the kids who are absolutely desperate, you know, life didn't work out for them. They live paycheck to paycheck. Of course, Bernie sounds great. How much effort do you have to do to accept an offer of something for free? Even though it's not going to be free. Even though that beautiful little tax bracket graphic that's gone all over Facebook is completely and utterly full of shit. The middle class is going to get slammed by Bernie. It's the only way to make socialism work. You think the richest people in the world would ever give that guy a buck if they thought their tax brackets were going up? No way. Why does everybody hate Trump at the top? Because he's taking it away. But he's not going to take it away by taxing them. He's going to bring the jobs back in America. And I actually believe there's going to be a lot of billionaires made from what Trump's going to do. We'll get into him in a second. When I get to know someone, I usually get to know them fairly deeply, right? And probably because I'm very honest about my life, they're very honest about their life. And I've got a couple friends and even a couple family members that have just suddenly become these Bernie people. And the common denominator is life didn't turn out the way it was supposed to in their brain. Some of them worked really, really hard and it simply didn't work out. And some of them didn't work hard at all and it didn't work out. But they love the idea of getting it for nothing. They were not entrepreneurs. They were not entrepreneurs. So going out and working your ass off and doing the right thing wasn't what they were interested in. I've told the story a couple times many episodes ago about my buddies who work in film who were hippies in the 60s. Right before it happened, they were just there. They were going through college, very lucid during that time frame. And they talked about forming communes. Communes are the externalization of socialism. People agreeing to come together, to work together, to divide up what you have and take care of a commune. And some of them built geodesic domes. Some just squatted some land in the desert or in the forest. And they said that there was a common thing that would happen there. I have three commune stories, two from one guy and one from another guy. Both exceptionally brilliant people. I would say IQs 170 plus. Their accomplishments, phenomenal in life. And they said that within 35 days, all communes reduced to about a 7 to 5% contribution rate. 7 to 5% of the population worked, and the other 90 plus percent were lazy fucks who sat around expecting everyone else to lift their weight. When I look at the people that support Bernie Sanders, I see two groups of people. People who are suffering horribly from NAFTA, from what's going to be the TPP. Even my friends in film. I have famous actor friends. I mean, famous actor friends who are for Bernie. It's because they're now over 40, over 50. They can't get jobs in Hollywood. And it's hard to get jobs in Hollywood after a certain age. But now they used to be seriously famous. They can't get jobs. All the filming is exported out of the country because we won't subsidize it anymore. The amount of stuff filmed in Vancouver is insane, right? We're Hollywood right here, man. This is where Charlie Chaplin invented film, right? The process of making film was invented right here. And we don't film here very often because we can't afford to subsidize it, which is complete horseshit. But you're either suffering horribly or you're completely and utterly lost in a failed life. And I'd honestly say, I'm not blaming anybody for making that mistake. You know, your parents not having a job is because of the previous generation, the NAFTA generation. You getting a crappy education? Well, I don't know why colleges create crappy degrees. I really don't. They should be able to get rid of all this frivolous crap. Offer only degrees that are employable, and you just simply go to college and you simply get one of those degrees. But I think because of the pre-college courses being so crappy in the schools, you can't pass. And so they want you to pass, so you get 4 years of debt. So they create these really shitty degrees that are simple. You know? I mean, every degree comes with exams that are hard. But I will tell you, I've got a really close friend of mine. She specifically chose psychology because she was a sports major. She picked psychology because they told her at the college, soccer coach, whatever. Everybody should take psychology if you're not really academically prone because it's really easy to get through. And boy, she got through it. And she's a slave. And she knows it. She wants to change her life. But she's such a slave that even thinking non-slave is hard for her. Trapped in a paradigm of possibilities. It's really sad. So they blame capitalism. What's funny about capitalism, and most of the comments I hear about capitalism, is that those who utter it, say that word, try to discuss the concepts of capitalism, are typically people that know nothing about it. Right? And I mean college professors who have degrees in capitalism or business. You know what the difference is between a college professor lamenting about capitalism and who's maybe 50, 60 years old, been teaching it for 40 years, and the kid who's 25 years old, worth $1 million, who never finished college? One knows what he's talking about, and the other one's 60 years old. What's the circular logic of professors, most professors, talking about capitalism and trying to take a shit on it, is that they were inept human beings to begin with. Because what did they do? They went to college, never left the college womb, and went back into college to teach what they just learned. Having no empirical evidence of anything, having no evidence of anything in life. But they're going to lecture about how bad capitalism is. Yeah, start a business, dude. First, invent a product or service anybody gives a fuck about. Then start the business. Then hire employees. Give them health care. Give them signing bonuses so they don't go work for somebody else. And lecture me about capitalism. And just because it's hard and you're inept doesn't mean capitalism's at fault. It means you just don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't have what it takes to make it happen, Bernie Sanders. So Donald Trump said the old man gives him $40 million, somewhere in there, 43, something like that. And people think that there's just some bank account you could put the money in. There's these zero-risk investments you can put your money in, and you instantaneously make $1 billion. $10 billion, right? If you believe that, you don't know what you're talking about. Not even a clue. Well, Donald Trump wants for the world, if you read his books, especially the book he co-wrote with Robert Kiyosaki, the guy that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which again, if you haven't read every single one of his books, you're crazy. They're all on audio. Donald Trump wants what he accomplished for you. He really does. He really, really would rather have more competition than no competition. What Donald Trump understands is that if there isn't a major, major change in this country right now, you're living in the last presidential administration. The next one is going to be the last one that you'll recognize America. What is it, the Economy magazine? Their 1989 cover that has a phoenix rising out of a pile of burning cash, has a medallion on his chest, says 2018. That's 2 years into the next presidency. They're planning on resetting the world economy in 2018. They're already doing it. Getting us off on all this bullshit Apple Pay, Google Pay, taking every single swipey, debit card, putting a chip in it so you got to slow the transaction down. Used to be real simple. Boom. I go to Walgreens. I swipe my card. Transaction over as fast as I could push the buttons on the unit. I go to CVS. They've got these chip ones, and I swipe, and it refuses to take my fucking card. And the guy goes, "Do you have a chip?" "Yeah." Now I'm sitting there for at least a minute, 2 minutes, just trying to get it to take my money, and it's so slow, and they did it on purpose. It doesn't take any time to read a chip. It should be faster than reading the magnetic strip on the back. But the takeover's coming. It's right in front of your face. Now who do you want at the helm? Some socialistic backstabbing loser who didn't get a job until he's 40? How many of you didn't have a job till you're 40? How would that have been, right? You didn't have to earn a single dime until you're 40. That's Bernie. Hillary, well, she's just lived off the coattails of other people her whole life. And she still couldn't take that opportunity and be a good person. She's involved with more murders and deaths and scandals than any single politician in the history of America. She makes LBJ look like Jesus Christ. They don't know business. Neither one of those people understand business. Ted Cruz, his wife works for Goldman Sachs, for fuck's sake. You're going to put that guy in? They're going to be part of the cabal to bring this country down. Donald Trump is the only dude that's not establishment, which is why George Soros, through MoveOn.org, is paying for all these protests. Capitalism is a word that describes a human behavior of excellence. Someone wants to be something better than average. In a business sense, we call it capitalism. Maybe in a private situation, we call it perfectionism. But we know that in every single experiment on planet Earth with socialism and especially communism, go look at China, there's a corrupt, corrupt government in China. These people are, they make Saddam Hussein look like your favorite teacher in grade school. You want to get anything done in China, you better have a lot of money to grease a lot of palms. And then it doesn't guarantee anything, right? They kill each other at the top. They kill each other at the top. And with the way they do it is that they drum up some charges against you in the middle of the night. They indict you. They pull you into some kangaroo court and sentence you to execution. It's the way that they live. They literally say, okay, you're going to be president for this number of years, probably. And eventually we're going to pull the dirt out on you, or we'll make it up on you. And you'll be sentenced to execution and you'll die. But you're going to have a really good time up until the point you die. So what would you rather have? Bentleys for 10 to 15 years and death? Or driving around on some bicycle? It's up to you. And they always choose corruption. Look at the government right now with capitalism running the situation. The government is a socialistic organization, right? Everyone's a part of a union. They come to work, whatever, 9 o'clock in the morning. They leave exactly at 5 o'clock. I mean, 501, man, these people are history. They get pay raises without having any performance. They don't get a good pay raises, but they get a guaranteed pay raise, so overall they win. So by the time you're 60, you have a massive salary, but you could probably be the worst you've ever been at 60, and you'll have the highest salary you've ever had because the union protects you. In the educational system in America, all right, well, you have pedophiles that are handled exactly like the Catholic Church handles their pedophiles. They're just toured around different schools so they can rape new girls. I've experienced this personally with my girlfriends. Camarillo, California, the drama teacher in 1990, just look up the yearbook. That scumbag had molested girls before. He molested girls at that school. He illegally filmed them changing clothes by hiding a camera in a dressing room. And all he did was get shipped off to another location. There have been so many novels, historical books, even fictional portrayals, historical portrayals of socialistic experiments in planet Earth, and they never, ever work. In fact, most of the authors have the wherewithal to express the joke that people believe that this works, because it always fails. The only difference between North Korea being a communistic socialistic country and just a plain old socialistic country is the fact that Kim Jong-un, or the Kim Jong family, mandates that they're the centerpiece on the hood. That's the only difference. Everyone having less is what the socialistic world looks like. I'm going to wager that one of the reasons why socialism doesn't work is because you can't breed excellence out of human beings. You can't tell a smart young child not to be smart. You can't keep a smart young child from creating the next amazing invention. You can't do it, no matter how much you try. And I think that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the reason why the aristocracy has a huge problem with humanity in general is because they are in touch with their freedom gene. And those douchebags, those scumbags, they actually believe that they can condition out of man the will to be free. Only they will be aware of their will to be free. No one else will be aware of it. That's what they want. They want 99.9%, carry the nine several places, to be docile, fluoridated, chipped, drone surveillanced, repressed. First socialistic, then communistic, controlled. You don't get communism usually on day one, people. It's a stair-stepping process, right? It's one foot in the grave is socialism. Socialism leads to communism. That's the way it works. I'm mentioning several times THX-1138, which is an odd movie, and one of our listeners, I think Julie, she finally watched it. And, you know, it's if you go off and watch it, it's disturbing. But if you want to see the future world that could be, especially this Boston Dynamics robot control world, you have Robert Duvall plays the main character. And he's just in this weird socialistic fascist world where he wears a white outfit. All the human beings wear these white sort of almost hospital gowns without the cut in the back. And they're policed by these, look like bike cops, like chip bike cops. And they're kind of the Gestapo-looking leather outfits with these silver faces. I actually said in one of the episodes, black cops. I don't mean black race cops. It just means they're dressed in black clothing. They have a silver face, and they have the old chip hat helmet on top. And they have these cattle prods. And if you disobey, that's what they use these things on you and get you to do what they want you to do. And if you really disobey, they put you in a room and zap you. And then they put it on television so everybody can see it. But no one lives in a normal world. There's no streets or brownstones. Everyone's inside a meat like this massive kind of corporate building. And there's one escape scene where you finally go outside and drive around L.A., which is all just tunnels and stuff that keep all the complexity of the world down. And the remake is actually kind of neat because they finally made those scenes look really cool with some CG. But here's the thing that is implied by the movie that is very important, and I have forgotten to mention it every single time. The government in this movie does not exist. The controlling force that keeps the characters in place is not in view, ever. And I don't know if George Lucas meant to do it that way, or he just made it that way and it just ended up being that way. But there's no presidents, there's no controllers, there's no bankers, there's no nothing. This world is, everyone's in this horrible, horrible, almost like a computer simulation. And they're sort of weird factory workers. But there's no sign of civilization. There's no sign of real life. There's just a bunch of human beings acting like electrons inside of a computer motherboard, just doing a routine. That's what they want, people. They want us to be functional, not a threat, and dispensable at a moment's notice. And they want the laws to back up this idea that they can kill anybody that they want and no one can say anything. You know, over the course of Barack Obama's administration, remember, this guy doesn't run anything. He's just a mouthpiece who has to read from a teleprompter, otherwise he doesn't know his middle name. He has greenlit the drone program over the United States of America under his watch, his administration, his establishment, Bilderberg serving, World Bank serving, banking oligarchy serving administration, has greenlit drones flying over America. That if you so much as make too many videos or too many comments like I'm doing, they could just drop a rocket in his backyard, wipe me out and say it was a mistake. And the world will just go on with life. Oh, sure, some of my loved ones would get a check, maybe. Maybe. If they could be in that 7% of people that actually make money off of suing the government of the United States, right? So I think communism is just a more formalized corruption layer on top of socialism. Those who get to be in charge to whatever backstabbing means, and I mean that quite literally, because at some point it does just come down to muscle. When you're at the very tippy top, if you just know a gangster that will kill somebody and you got the money to compensate them, or you can cut a deal with them to do their job, hey, they'll go and take out that guy. And you say, look, you don't know how to run the country, but you got muscle. So I'll tell you what, you knock that guy out right there and his whole family and maybe a couple other dudes, and I will put you in charge of security, which is what you do understand, and I'll run the country, and we'll just be bosom buddies. Pow. Now it gets more formalized in China, where that deal is done with the head of police or the head of the military, a general. And then they can dump troops in your house or dump cops in your house and take you away. Once the fight is done and the dust settles at the very, very top of a communist organization like China, then it's the dissidents down. It's how many people will backstab their own citizens to survey them. You know, and how can you redo the education system and the financial dependency on the state such that people will feel desperate to spite their own man, spite their own mankind, you know, their own citizens. So these people that run these computer surveillance programs in China that make sure that Google doesn't say, you know, anything about what's really going on over there. Mark Zuckerberg is completely in bed with China, is totally willing to censor things. We have all these kind of puff up our chest things that we believe about human rights. And then our CEOs absolutely write software to make sure that human rights are violated. And no one says a thing, you know? Because in the end, the plan is supposed to come here. You want to know who will spite humanity? Mark Zuckerberg. You know? Any board of directors for Facebook, any board of directors for Google, for any company that has a social media element or a news element that is actually allowed to show their articles in China. And there's a lot of folks that will go to an extremism thing where they'll say, well, it's, you know, you're not supposed to have any business in China? Yeah. Yep. And as soon as Chinese citizens say, holy crap, we don't have anything cool, then maybe they'll revolt. But as long as you're willing to feed them, you know, sanitized articles that their country gets to pre-censor, well, they're going to feel like they're part of the club, but they're not. They'll live in a delusion. I'm sure they see things about us that are true that we don't see. Pre-censorship happens here too. But it's starting to break down during this election. But I want to come back to Donald Trump. Do a few more things before we punch out here. There's a saying in Mexico that says, show me a person's friends and I'll tell you what kind of person he is. And I totally and utterly support that idea. But I think one that's even more intimate is show me a person's children and I'll tell you what kind of person they are. I think if you combine the two, you'll have a perfect measurement of these individuals. Donald Trump's kids, at least his first three children that are grown up and that we have access to and we see them, are exemplary human beings. When he had his show, The Apprentice, he would bring his, you know, Ivanka and his son. Gets Donald Jr. and his other son. I haven't heard a lot from his third son, but when he was campaigning and starting to campaign, the two sons came up and exchanged the microphones, and what humble guys they are. And The Apprentice, you know, at least the first son, had the opportunity to say yay or nay on a particular candidate, and at no point was the kid flippid, was the kid ungracious, he was humble, and he felt the pain of the person getting critiqued. Ivanka did not turn into Paris Hilton. You notice that? Another hotel heir. For my money, Paris Hilton is just an abomination of what a female in America could turn into in this world. Kardashians, second. You know? Donald Trump, as I understand it, when he raised his kids and they went to college, he gave them a credit card with a $500 per diem on it per month. Guy's worth billions, and he gives his kids $500 a month. I thought that was awesome. They went to the excellent educational institutions that he went to, and they just came out wonderful, humble people. That does not happen through nannyship, all right? That happens through direct participation from a father and a mother. And I want to give the mothers of those... I don't know if it's the same mom for all of them, but I think it is. The mom deserves credit too, of course. But what we're talking about is, you know, Donald Trump has visibly been invested in his children's future. He's going to give them his empire. And I've seen some, you know, don't be surprised if that organization is worth $100 billion, you know, 50 years from now, if he can save this country. But, you know, what is Donald Trump doing? He's trying to save the country so his kids have a chance. And the beautiful thing is, you're in that camp too, no matter how old you are, and your kids are in that camp. Economics and education are the two simplest things in the world to fix. But the last thing you do is hire a bunch of blowhards like Bernie Sanders, which is about everyone on the Hill, who's living off the dole. Living off of the government dole. Once you get involved with that, and I've seen this at local colleges here that I've contracted for, these people come in with these idealistic eyes, and as soon as they start sucking on that tit, and it comes every single month, they get a big fat paycheck, and they never have to do anything better to get a job, an increase in pay. They actually leave literally at 5 o'clock. It is an astonishing transformation of the colleges around here, the government colleges, the CSUs. They simply vanish. But they say Donald Trump's a racist. Well, as I said, you're an asshole if you believe that because you don't know anything about what you're talking about. Big, giant $10 billion empire, I believe, employs more minorities than it does what you would consider the majority, which is, I guess, your Anglo-Saxon European whites. But I think that one's melting off because a lot of people who are black, Mexican, are all coming out, which is our two majority folks with Asians in there too. They're all coming out and they're saying, I like what he's saying. He's supporting me. You know, I've seen some folks that talk about it from the ghetto perspective. They know that they are starting down in America, right? Education has been sanctioned considerably. They've been indoctrinated to war amongst each other, sell drugs, kill each other. And he said, look, the first jobs that our people have the chance of getting are probably manufacturing jobs, but they're not available. And the ones that are left are being taken by the Mexicans who are not indoctrinated to not work hard. And so I saw a video of a black leader saying, look, we've got to get the jobs that we can get right away with the subpar education that we have so that we can get better education. But if the president of the United States comes in and says Common Core is bullshit, then the very next generation of ghetto kids that go through the school without Common Core actually have a chance of not taking tests designed for the stupidest kid in this country, right? The whole idea is to push kids through the educational system with no education, to then have these simple degrees that they get to make them feel like they have a college degree. And when they can't get a job, they want socialism. They want to live off the government. And once you live off the government, you're putting your hand out to the government. And the government gets to decide what you have to do to get that piece of that food pellet, that little tiny bottle of water with all the fluoride in it to make sure that next time you come up, you're a little nicer. You're a little more docile at work. There's two scandals on Trump, which I think are utterly laughable. One is very early in the 80s when he was clearing the soil. Donald Trump was clearing the soil for the Trump Towers. He had to pay a group to do demolition. Standard procedure. He hires a consulting firm. The consulting firm has 200 supposedly undocumented Polish workers. They blame Trump, of course, for the way that guy ran his business. All he did was contract a company. Now, we have electronic means of verifying every single employee. So every single employee in the Trump empire is a legal citizen because he can immediately check it electronically. But he didn't have that in the early 80s. So what's funny is that the left say that, in fact, everyone who's against the wall wants to push this illegal immigrant thing in Trump's face, is all of a sudden they want to hold a standard against Trump that how dare he employ 200 illegal Polish workers to clear his land. But the same scumbags that try to pull that scam on him, which I think he's fully indemnified from because of the proxy of a company. I've hired plenty of companies. I don't go through their employees. It's not even my ability, not my right as an American to go through someone else's employees and say, you know, you could write in an employment contract and say there's no illegal workers. The person can just say, yes, there's no illegal workers here. I can't go in and prove it. You know, and I don't personally want to go through a due diligence of checking everyone's employees, right? I did a $1 million deal for a project with EA. EA has 5,500 employees. What do you want me to personally sit around and waste $200,000 or $300,000 of looking at these people's IDs? What are you, crazy? It means you know nothing about business. Sometimes you just got to trust, move on, and go, right? But they say he was bad for employing immigrants, illegal immigrants, when they want to bring as many in as possible. Give me a break. Secondly, Trump University. So he created a school. I guess the pitch material was that Donald Trump would personally pick, handpick all of the professors and validate them into the system. All right. Do you think the colleges lack that same standard? Do you think that professors get jobs in universities like the big ones and the small ones without getting vetted by the admissions board, you know, by the president, by the chancellor? Do you think that any college professor gets in without being checked? Do you think that you can create a checkbox that will or that will perfectly predict the performance of an individual in the future? Have you ever had a bad day or a bad year? How many bad professors have you had if you ever went to college? I've had some shitty ones, unbelievably shitty ones. So the other thing is it's completely subjective. He has all these cards filled out from people that said they absolutely loved the course, and then some of these people have been lured and solicited by these class action lawsuit attorneys to say you can get some of your money back. Why do they want their money back? Very simple. They were not able to apply themselves and succeed. So they want their money back. Well, I wasn't able to use it. Yeah, you're not able to use it because capitalism is on life support in this country. You're not able to use it because the real estate bubble keeps popping. You're not able to use it because the economic bubbles are happening. You're not able to use it because we don't manufacture anything in this country anymore. You're not able to use it because there's no education that's worth a damn in this country anymore. That's why you're failing. So everybody who's pissing and moaning about Trump University, here's my suggestion. Vote Trump into office. Then go get your course material that you got from his university and go succeed, because the amount of opportunity in this country will be inexhaustible. And believe me, if the experiment in America turns around and we make the changes that we want to make in this country, and yeah, some of this is idealistic and they may try to bump him off, but if they bump off Trump, we're going to have the courage to step up and expose them and incarcerate them. That's the most beautiful thing. Every single day this guy's alive, another 100,000 people are on board, right? I saw a great meme of his that said, I need more haters because my last ones became fans. That's my experience at my smoke shop. Immediately changed the game. There's always going to be greedy people in the world. You know? If you don't believe me, just go to a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner, or some holiday dinner that you have in your country, where there's, say, 6 to 10 people or more, and just watch. Just watch as the food goes around the table. Someone's going to take more. When the dessert comes out, they take a bigger slice of the pie, literally. They go back for seconds when there shouldn't. There's not for everybody. You can't create a form of government where there's or a form of society where that's not going to occur. But you can't create a system where socialism is going to fix that problem. Like I said in my previous episode, the amount of psychotics that want to run the world is based on the level of happiness that's in a particular country. Why do people treat people badly? Because they're unhappy with themselves, right? Why do guys pick on nerds? They hate themselves in a way. Once you dig yourself, hell man, you're cool with all the walks of life, right? I've always been very, very comfortable in my skin. So I've always been friends with the jocks, with the nerds, with the mutts in between, which is where I consider myself. Unless you're just a really weird person, like you can't communicate very well, we're going to get along just fine. I'll do my best to communicate to your method of communication if you're a little odd, right? But the guy that's going to be greedy is going to take over and move up through the ranks in a socialistic world. He's going to become your overlord. At least in capitalism, we can identify them a lot easier. A greedy person in a capitalistic world sticks out like a sore thumb. Because you can get wealthy in a capitalistic world being a greedy asshole. Plenty of them in this world, right? George Soros being one of them. But now the guy sticks out like a sore thumb. He's the one funding all these protests, right? There's that hilarious interview with Bernie Sanders where he's doing one of his standard double-speak, low-IQ things that he does, right? People with low IQs, if you have an IQ over someone else's IQ, you can just see them lying, you know? And he says, I think Donald Trump should get on the TV and tell his protesters to stop being so rambunctious. And the host goes, well, they're your protesters. They're wearing your shirts. Don't you think you should say that to your people? And then he turns around and goes, well, if I had to talk to every single supporter of mine that wants to protest, I would never get anything done. Wow. How the hell you say those two sentences back to back? That's Bernie Sanders for you right there. A two-faced piece of shit. Honestly, he's the kind of guy that a cowboy backhands until he fucking passes out. Just backhand him with one arm, backhand him with the other arm until that motherfucker passes out. And if he starts getting up and talking that shit again, you just keep backhand him until he shuts the fuck up. Because he's full of shit. He's an asshole. He wants to steal your stuff so he doesn't have to get a job. What Bernie Sanders is trying to do is turn the whole world into a bunch of losers. So when the guy looks in the mirror, he's like, look, we're all the same way. What I turned out to be, which is a total worthless piece of shit, is actually okay. Because everyone else is one too. I set the bar down to my level. You can't afford to wake up in the world of Donald Trump's, where all of us work our asses off, use our trade skills, use our creativity, our dedication. We start working at 18 or 22. And become super successful in life, regardless if that means a bunch of money or not, it doesn't matter. Whether or not you're happy in life because you're a productive person. How can a guy that waited till he was 40 to have a job sit at a coffee shop right now? How does Bernie Sanders sit down at a coffee shop with a successful 25-year-old, male or female, and lecture them about life? The guy is an absolute bona fide, black and white loser. Asking you to make him in charge of the most powerful country in the world, if you believe the paradigm. Ha 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 ha. Hillary's the same way. What's Hillary done? Marry guys and spend their money? She's not accomplished. Everything that she's ever made any money in has been disputed as a scam. Vince Foster was murdered by them because he wanted to investigate Whitewater. A land deal in Arkansas, which was completely illegal. He found him rolled up in a carpet in a park. They said he committed suicide. You know how that story goes by? Because you allow yourself to be talked to like a broadcast speak person. You watch the news and you don't sense that someone is talking down to you. You watch a politician like Hillary Clinton lie about getting out of a plane under gunfire or sniper fire. And she's lying through her teeth about it. When she fucks up Benghazi and gets four people killed and then gets in front of the senatorial hearing and says, nobody died. We didn't lose anybody. And it's the family's fault if they care at this point. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's how many tears that she's going to shed if you die. We got to wake up, people, man. We got to wake up. What I think is interesting about Donald Trump is if he had any big dirt on him, it would have been out by now. There are two scandals. What a joke. Guy doesn't have a single mob hit, you know. Doesn't mean they won't, you know, invent some bullshit and blame it on him, but Hillary's got big dirt on her, you know. According to Alex Jones, I'll mention one of the ones about Hillary I could never forget. Alex Jones said this one day, and you can take it with a grain of salt because it's that guy, but when you say it on a national syndicated radio station, I think someone would come down on you pretty hard. And once you lie about something about someone else, they can definitely press defamation charges on you. But he said that one of the Secret Service guys supposedly caught Hillary Clinton and one of her female assistants engaging in some sexual activity in the White House. Personally, I wouldn't have do whatever the hell you want. I don't give a shit. But that girl was ushered out of the White House. And according to Alex Jones, she went to, I believe, a Subway sandwich to buy a meal. And a bunch of guys rushed in under the pretense of a robbery for the Subway sandwich and shot the girl in the head 10 times, which is the bona fide execution count, right? The kid in the London bombings who watched them plant the bombs in the subway because he was a maintenance worker. They later chased him down and say he had a big puffy jacket with wires hanging out. Turns out he had nothing of the sort. He ran into the subway trying to escape. And, of course, the Scotland Yard or MI6, MI5 people came in there and shot him in the head 10 times. That's how they roll. So, yeah, somebody did the old South Park scissor dance with Hillary Clinton and got murdered. If you think that's crazy, LBJ's mistress had a Mexican maid back in the 60s in Texas. And he came and visited her, and he embraced her in the hallway, and he kissed her. And at that exact moment, the maid, down at the end of the hallway, walked into view, took a look, and saw them kiss. And she testified in her backyard, under videotaped, I guess, kind of pseudo-affidavit. She said, he said that, well, that isn't good. And she said to LBJ, don't worry, she won't say anything. And he says, we don't take risks like this. And one of the Secret Service guys invited that woman on to take her home that day because she didn't have a ride. And then she disappeared. Never to be seen again. You could only assume she was murdered. It happens, man. And the old establishment guard is the only thing that's been in office since LBJ. And the only thing running for office other than Donald Trump is establishment. The very fact that they're trying to get rid of the guy should tell you something. But if I was in Europe, especially underneath this horrible thing called the European Union, which again has had a charter to make Europe better, but has done nothing but make Europe horrible. And now the Pope just came out and said the refugee situation is the way to bring everybody together. When all these brutal, brutal rapes and murders are going on all across Europe, they're being hidden in the press. We just posted something on our Facebook page, facebook.com/MKUltraRadio, which shows some of the photographs, the gruesome, gruesome photographs of these women having their faces bashed in by these cocksuckers. I'm telling you right now, that kind of shit happens in Los Angeles, there's going to be a big uprising, right? They better behave in the United States of America. I'm going to wager that America hasn't seen true capitalism, the good kind that everyone has access to, right? Since the 70s. Maybe mid-80s at the latest. We're frustrated because capitalism is only something that's allowed to the Koch brothers, right? The big boys. True capitalism should be the financial opportunity of every human being to take their knowledge and their creativity and their wisdom and make something wonderful of the world. You're Stan Myers, who make the zero-point energy cars in the late 90s, right? They killed the guy in 98 with a poisoned cranberry juice. So now we have to buy oil still or use electricity of the worst means necessary instead of fracturing tap water. The guy had it finished. He was running cars. He was installing retro kit into people's cars for $1,500 to $1,200 bucks. It was a done deal. The oil companies were finished. They offered him $1.1 billion to shut up, but he said no, and they killed him. Whoop-de-doo. That's the way the world works when capitalism is isolated. Corporations need to be changed. But I can tell you what, you can make a huge difference. And it's real simple, people. Start shopping at every mom and pop shop you can shop at. Go to your local restaurants. And I know it'll cost a little bit more, all right? But the more they get money, the less they'll have to make their menus cost so much. Maybe they'll be able to even bring the prices down. But shop at everything local. You know, if you got to drive to a weird part of town because they can't afford the fancy leases, do it. And you know what? Tell them that's what you're doing. Because I tell you what, once you go to a family-owned place, no matter what it is, the family runs the place. And when that's the case, you meet them, and they like you. And then you come in, and they can shave off a buck here or something there, or they can order something that you like, that only you like. Places I buy cigars are people who own their own place. One of my guys will always round the prices down for me. The other guy orders exactly what I ask him to. At total risk to himself. I could be at a point where I would never walk back in that place. I could stick him with the whole box and no one else likes what I like. But I go back until the box is gone. I think you can appreciate the fact that, you know, I've come at life from a lot of different angles with these deep thoughts. I care deeply about your success. It doesn't mean a financial success. I want you to have that too. But I want you to feel the success in who you are as a person. And I happen to know that education is the number one way that I have ever felt comfortable with myself. But the ability to put the food on the table, whether you're a mom or a dad, is one way that we measure ourselves that we're probably never going to stop measuring ourselves. So jobs have to exist, and good jobs have to exist, that we like, you know? God forbid. A socialistic paradigm of existence is merely the substrate of fascism. It's a substrate of communism. It is not a step in the right direction. And it is a band-aid because you feel like you need it because you can't get the minimum resources of life that you should have as an inalienable citizen of a free country. We have a huge battle on our hands if you live in America to get the votes counted during the presidential election. Let's just say that we can convince the RNC to put Trump as their head candidate. And man, there's no guarantee they're going to do that. They might push him off into some independent thing. But as soon as the voting mechanisms come out, the die bulb machines that are programmed by 9 convicted voter felons, you know, any other machine out there, the hanging chads, all this stuff has to be monitored this year, unlike every single year. I don't know what movement we need to create, but we need a movement with a name. So everyone's on check, right? Someone needs to be there when the machines are picked up at night. We need to take pictures of license plate numbers, pictures of people's faces, and say, you're the one that picked this up. You know, if there's any hanky-panky, we're going to find out who the fuck you are, where you live, whether or not you're bonded to this organization, picking up the most important, priceless information, which is this year's election in America. I don't think there's any election around the world that isn't as valuable as the one we're about to have here in November. So, you know, a lot of our listeners have done great jobs posting videos of them voting, you know. But this year's paramount. What I was trying to say was that I come at life from a lot of different directions, and I can tell you right now, as an entrepreneurial person, you know, if you take all the salary that I've made and all the companies that I've founded and the money that I've earned, personally speaking, I'm probably like an $8 to $10 million guy. When you take all the products I've invented for major corporations and total up the money there, I'm a $1 billion guy. And I mean that humbly. But I can tell you, I have started businesses. I've employed, my last company probably swelled to about 30 employees at one point. And I'm paying some guys $160 an hour, all right? So this wasn't some chumpy company. I have paid for healthcare for my employees. I paid for benefits. When we couldn't find any dental or optical healthcare that was worth a damn, I said, here's what I'm going to do, guys. Every single year, I'm putting $600 in your account for each one of these containers. You have $600 worth of optical, $600 worth of dental. Feel free to combine them. It's on a credit card. Spend it as you like. And everyone only needs a pair of glasses every 2 years, and you only get a crown maybe once every 5 years. So they were able to keep this money at the end of the day. It was awesome. It was their money. Some of them may have a credit card lying around right now with $500 on it that my company put in there. So when I choose Trump, I'm not coming at it from some willy-nilly bunch of, you know, emotionalism. I'm coming at it from a human being that has lived many, many careers, has run companies, has employed people, and it came from a little town in the Midwest. It's still fantastic to this day, but my God, it's a fourth of what it used to be. Because corporatism has eaten it alive. Because all the jobs are exported. They no longer make dishes anymore, right? They no longer, I think, make the majority of any of the inventions that they invented. So we need to bring it back, people. We need great education because robots and computers are coming in a way that we've never seen, and we need to dominate that. We haven't even begun to find the balance between robots and humans. But in the next 10 to 20 years, robots are going to start replacing a lot of us. And we're going to need other jobs to fill. Right? I think a lot of people that used to serve hamburgers over register, we need to get your education up so you can maintenance the robot that's doing it. Make 4 times as much money. Feel good about it. You know? Be happy. Because culture grows when suffering ends. And that's why this country is an absolute cultural reverse. You want great bands again, like the 80s and the 70s and the 60s? We got to stop the suffering. So the music is either, you know, preschool nursery rhymes bumped up to rap music, or it's the grungy, super suffering, I hate my life stuff. Those feedback loops are not feedback loops of positivity and growth. Those are feedback loops of absolutely losing the race. I know you feel me. I want to get one of these out quickly. So I'm going to mention that I should do a video on corporatism. That one's already done. Go take a look. So I'm going to mention I should handle sort of the gender specifics of the world. There's a video out there called Gender Wars. I think there's one I turned off. I can't remember which one it was. I was just cussing too much. But hey, this is an homage to that one if there ever was one. I think we all want the world to be a better place. I know you Bernie voters want the world to be a better place, right? I just think you're supporting the wrong guy for the wrong reasons. Hillary, man, if you think that she's anything other than an absolute Lucifer on planet Earth, then you need to check your soul. Then you are probably a baby boomer that has just been living in syrupy indoctrination, and guarantee it. No one who supports Hillary has made it to the end of this video, I assure you. And if you're a Bernie supporter and you made it to the end of this, I seriously want to say thank you for having the objectivity to sit and listen to a dude disagree with you considerably. We're all passionate about opportunity and success. You know, as an employer, when I have found it difficult to hire someone because no one has any skill sets, it drives me crazy. You know, the guy who cheats never really feels the satisfaction of success, right? People like Hillary Clinton cheat. I wouldn't be surprised if that chick cheated through everything in high school and college. I just wouldn't be surprised. I'm not accusing her of it, but I wouldn't be surprised. So they say Donald Trump is going to start World War III. I've heard that one. Unbelievable. The Obama administration has been trying to start World War III, in the Ukraine with Russia for the last 4 years, including shooting down a civilian plane and blaming it on Russia. You realize the people on a plane are dead. Because an intelligence agency was playing a chess game with their lives and said, well, I think if we shoot this down, American people will support troop buildup in Ukraine against Russia. Well, Vladimir Putin, being a fairly stand-up guy, he's a made man. I'm sure he's had to kick some people in the balls in his lifetime. I'm sure he's had to do some things he might regret. But he's endorsed Donald Trump. All right. Well, Russia has sway with China, don't they? Donald Trump has a great relationship with China, right? So, how do you figure he's going to start World War III? With whom is he starting World War III? The president of Russia likes Donald Trump. Problem solved. The president of Russia has a lot of sway with China. And China does a lot of business with Trump. So how do you figure? What, are you going to get in a war with Mexico? Canada, Europe, something in South America, Australia, Africa, the Middle East? Is this all starting to sound ridiculous? The claim that he's going to start any aggressive situation is ridiculous. But I guarantee you, if Donald Trump's president and America takes a stance, there's going to be stages to the situation. There's going to be cautions. There's going to be shots over the bow to say, back off, because we mean business. And unlike the current administration, where we're pussyfooting around our resolves, we have undeclared wars that we fight, that we literally are pushing our human souls from our country into this meat-grinding machine to kill them on the behalf of a banking cartel that we don't benefit from in the first place, right? We have the worst case of Stockholm Syndrome in this country, right? We're going to define what win means, and then we're going to win. And we won't go into the theater unless we already know we can win. That's the way business deals are done, man. You don't go into a negotiation where you think you have a 50% chance. But anybody who's not run a business thinks they know how it works. Newsflash, I ain't how it works. The best moments in this country in my life have been the peace years. The 70s, man, from 74 up. And the 80s, all peace-ridden decade. What if Donald Trump could end these global banking wars? At least in terms of our participation. I guarantee you, we pull out, Europe pulls out in 2 damn seconds, man. Get all of our boys out of the Middle East. I mean, not a single one of them there. No one's allowed to fight. We have peace. For 8 solid years. And I guarantee you, if that brother could get 8 years, the next election after Trump would be entirely, completely unrecognizable to your previous entire lifespan in this country. Because no one like Hillary Clinton and no one like Bernie Sanders and no one like Ted Cruz could ever walk up to the podium and say that they're a person that has a chance of being president. Because we would smell them like the sleazy used car salesman. He's using bubble gum and sawdust to get the car to run right. If you haven't already, go to mkultureradio.com. If you want to really get into this particular subject matter, and again, like I said, I usually try to keep these episodes out of anything current affairs. This episode is going to seem really silly, you know, after the election. It won't really have a lot of value. Maybe I'll replace it with something else. But get up to our Facebook page for MK Ultra Radio. This is Deep Thoughts. It's a different show. There's a different page for Deep Thoughts. If you really want to get into the feed of lucidity, MKUltra Radio is where to go on Facebook. Radio is the key. If you don't put radio in there, you get a different thing. But it's facebook.com/MKUltraRadio. That's pretty easy, right? I know you feel me, regardless. I thank you for your time. Let's go out and try to take care of each other. Be good to each other. We all want the same thing, which is peace and prosperity. We just are a little bit in disagreement about how to get it. I hope this was helpful. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts.